And I just had a question. When they had the meeting with the ten kinsmen, why did the kinsman that was supposed to redeem Ruth say, "I cannot redeem this for myself"?
May I offer a suggestion here? Again, it shows, he said actually first in verse 4, right in the end of the verse, that he would.
That's right.
If it was a matter of the field or the land, a thing, he had no problem increasing his properties and get a piece of land. But the catch was, Boaz told him in verse 5, fine, you could have the field. But if you have the field, you got to have Ruth, the Moabitess. And he said, wait a second. I'm not messing up my family tree here.
Right.
I'm not going to add the Moabitess to my family. Forget it. I want to have nothing to do with that. And that is really the reason. Because again, see, the law will fall short. When it comes to reaching out to those who are not under the law, grace must come in. And here is Boaz. I think when Ben said earlier, he went alone to the cross. He said, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I would not go free. And he went there and got his suffering. But the law would fall short. He could not do it. If it matter of the field, he said, I will. But when it was a matter of marrying a Moabitess, he could not do that. He said, no, I am not. Naturally speaking, I don't want to mess up my family. I don't want to bring Moabitess to my family lineage. Well, shame on him. Look at where Ruth is. Amen. Christ was not ashamed to bring her into his family lineage.
Concerned about his own.
Yep.
And the scripture says love does not seek its own.
Right.
And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He was not concerned about the fact that he would have to suffer and go through so much and suffer such great reproach for us. This man was, and that's where the failure comes in.
I'm going to offer another suggestion. I'm going to say that we look at these verses and we see in them the work of Christ thousands of years later. We see that on one side.
Right.
But on the other side, I'm reading a story of what took place during a time in Israel when things were bad and when every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. I find a kinsman that had the right to redeem. But I think that I look at this and I see a man who had a wife, who had a family, and he wanted to keep that relationship with his wife and his family pure and clean. What would it have done to his family to have brought Ruth in? As wonderful as we know Ruth was at this time, he was already married. So I see that side of it too, that I think we can be thankful that we see this coming out. I understand the typical teachings from the book of Romans, but I'm looking now just in plain English at these verses, and I see a man that said, this would mar my inheritance. I see the work of grace. God knew that already. When the Lord brought Ruth up out of the land of Moab, he knew about this man. He knew about this nearer kinsman. The Lord wasn't concerned about that problem. He says, I'll take care of it. So let's just see it in that light also. At least I suggest that.
I think that's nice of you, Brother Chuck, to look at him that way. But I saw something that, when I contrast him with Boaz, I see that he's a man with a lack of faith, because he didn't see what Boaz saw, but trust by faith that Ruth would be in the lineage of Christ. And I kind of see an Esau as opposed to a Jacob there. But
I wouldn't debate with you about that. I wouldn't at all.
Even the idea of mar my inheritance, yeah. You know, it's the same word that is used on Isaiah 53. His face was more than any man. Here is a man who was concerned about marring his inheritance. And then you have another man who is willing to have his face more than any man to obtain a bride.
We're probably better off to finish, it's 5 till, with the blessings that we have in the verses 11 through the end of the chapter. The Lord make the woman that is come unto thine house like Rachel and Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah be famous in Bethlehem. Let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord gave thee of this young woman. It's a wonderful thing. And I can say it. I'm two or three years older than most of you here.
Really?
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to experience the blessing of the Lord in your families, with your children, with your grandchildren. And this is some of what this would set before us, that you can look forward to the future with hope if you, like Ruth, if you, like Boaz, have put everything in the hands of the one that has said, be still and know that I am God.
Isn't it lovely that in verse 11, all the people, it's not some of the people, but all the people who were in the gates, in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. Amen. The Lord make the woman who is come into thine house like Rachel and Leah. I think it's in Romans chapter 12, Romans 15, that speaks about rejoicing together. And you know, young people, I think it's a wonderful thing when we wait upon the Lord and we do things according to his mind, that we allow our parents to rejoice in the thing that the Lord has brought us into blessing. And I think of the practical side of whether it's attaining, your graduation, good grades, whether it's finding a husband or wife, and not robbing your parents of being able to rejoice in blessings that the Lord would pour out upon you. It says all the people. You know the saints are praying for you. Do you know that the saints in your local assembly, they love you, the brothers and the sisters, even some who you might feel don't demonstrate it. But I want to tell you that they all want to see you do well. And I often sit down at a wedding, especially of a young person, of young people, and I look at the saints, and they get themselves together, and they come dressed, and they are celebrating what God has done. And I see a little bit of this in the rejoicing of all the people. They wanted the house of Boaz to be blessed. They wanted it to be fruitful. They wanted it to be to overflow with the blessings of God. And you know why they could rejoice in what God had done? Because both Boaz and Ruth had done things according to God's mind. It's a shame, and there's much sorrow, when we put the cart before the horse, when we fall into sin, when there are children that are born before marriage, when we marry an unbeliever. You know, we want our parents to rejoice. And you say, well, Dad, you know, Mom, why is it that you aren't so happy? He's a nice fella. She's a nice girl. And she might be, and he might be. But what a blessing it is when we move in the mind of Christ, when we are equally yoked, when it's someone who has the same beliefs, this commonality as regards to the principles of Scripture. So when we have children, we aren't talking about, well, where should they go? Should they go over here or should they come with us? Oh, no, but Ruth was perfectly suited for Boaz. And Boaz was perfectly suited as the man that would take up the responsibility in his home. And so all the people could rejoice and could bless them and could ask God to bless them because they had done things according to his mind.
I just had a thought on my heart. Verse 11 really caught my eye. So when it says, all the people who were in the court and the elders said, we are witnesses, sort of reminds us, we are witnesses also. We are witnesses of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it every day, or we see it a lot when people are saved, and we are witnesses of that, the Holy Spirit working through somebody to save them.
I have a question. Is there any significance to the names Rachel and Leah, and then in verse 12, Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah?
Read one verse in Revelation 5, verse 9. Just maybe to read them what we're hearing to study.